Yeah, you're still here, aren't you? Amen. I know the feeling. Somebody asked me a while ago about, was I ready to go home? I hear a ringing here, but I'll move or something. I said, well, yes and no. Kind of like Brother Cecil this morning, Fayard. He liked snow, but he didn't like snow, you know. So answer to that, yes and no. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in James here, chapter 2. And we'll start in verse 8. We've just really been going down through it and bringing what the Lord gives me to pass on and just share with you. And it's just been, just those everyday things, as Brother Wayne said. But I've been blessed, folks, this week. I was scared to death when I got here. I'm still nervous, like Brother Rick said. Anytime you get behind the pulpit or you're proclaiming God's Word, you want to make sure you give God's Word. You know, and you don't want to get my thinking involved in it. You want to know what the Lord has given you and what He's done in your life, and there's no questions about it. It's not something that you come up with and those kind of things. So it's always scary behind this pulpit, and it's a new place, and those kind of things that you come into. Well, you just don't know what, you know. You just don't know what. That's just like this week with all the sickness that you've got going on and those kind of things. You don't know what, you know. Do you know the Lord's in charge? And you say, I was talking to Brother Blevins last night, Brother Arthur there, and said, can you imagine what it would have been like if Brother Ellis could have been here, you know. And he pointed out it's all in God's providence, you know. This sickness and all that is too. We don't understand it. We don't know what it's for. And we may not find out on this side of eternity. And we may not find out on the other side. It won't be important maybe on the other side. But it always goes through this old human mind. You know, is the old devil attacking us? What is it going on, you know? Is he trying to keep the word from getting to those that are not here? Or is he trying to tell us just go that other round, Brother Rick, whether anybody's here or not, you know, and that kind of stuff? We don't know what God's got in mind. I think about Abraham when he called Abraham to go. He didn't say, now, Abraham, here's your route. You take this road, this road, this road, this road, this road. He said, just go. That's what He's told us to do. Live every day trying to please the Lord and do what He'd have us to do. Verse 8 of chapter 2. James 2 and verse 8 is where we got to. And we'll probably back up a little bit here. I hope as we go through these things that the Lord will bring something up and you'll say, I'd like to know more about that. And it'll just start a Bible study in your heart. We go back in the Old Testament, dig out what it says there and those kind of things. In verse 8 it says, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. We've seen, and we'll go to it in a little while over to the Law of Liberty, I believe it mentioned in verse 25 of the previous chapter, verse 12 here, it says this, but this said royal law. Does that kind of spark your interest a little bit and say, let's go dig in and see what the royal law is? Go see what the Bible has to say about that. See what God has to say about that and kind of get yourself going. Now, this next portion of verse 8 that I wanted to kind of dwell on, and it's one of those fine lines for me, and I think it is for all of us, is this self. Is this self. But look at that and think about it with me a little bit and think of some other passages where it talks about self and watch out. But it says there, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. If I'm being mean to my neighbor, I'm probably being mean to myself. Get a hold of that and think about it. If I'm loving my neighbor, if I'm helping my neighbor, if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do to my neighbor according to God's Word, then I'm thinking all right of myself. I don't need to go get some self-help books and those kind of things, you know. I just need to go on following the Scriptures and doing what it says. But the point that I want us to get is not to beat self up. We do that quite often. We do that quite often. We beat ourselves up and we need to just trust the Lord and not build ourselves up to think that we're something that we're not or any of those kind of things, but realize that the Lord wants you to take care of yourselves. We had a great meal every night that I've been here in the morning. Sister Mary fixes a great breakfast and all those kind of things. And And they're good. And if I didn't quit, somebody asked me if I got done. I didn't get done. I just quit. You know, and all they probably wouldn't recognize me at Faith whenever I got back down there. But we took that food in, and this body is taking that food right now and pulling out of it what it wants to do. I wish the spiritual body was kind of the same way, and maybe it is a little bit. I don't know just how to bring this in, but you're hearing some good spiritual messages and food this week, and have been encouraged to get some during the week when you're not hearing it on a regular basis in the church capacity. Every one of us, I hope, read a portion of God's Word this morning before we got here and today sometime. We've been encouraged to get into it, and it's taking that in, and it's the spiritual, that new man that came in when the Lord saved us, you know, it's growing it. You've grown in some way, and that'll help yourself to be a little bit bolder out there tomorrow for the Lord, if the Lord wakes us up to another day. We don't know if He will or not. Then, you know, it's just, if He does, He has so far. He woke us up today, didn't He? We're all here. And so as we get God's Word in, and that helps us to be bolder, I hope, out there. There's a little young lady last night walking around handing people drawings that she had done. And I looked and I thought, you know, that's what we need to be handing out tracts. We need to get some of those and mark out those I used the other night, you know, where it says make a choice, make a decision and all, to send it back. Because, folks, any human being that reads that and got any sense about them at all is going to check that mark that they want to go to heaven. They want to go to heaven. They're going to do that. It's just in us to do that. But I thought about her. And as we see this about loving your neighbor as yourself, I hope self gets a little lift tonight. I hope self gets a little boost and you think, you know, the Lord's called me, as Brother Rick mentioned, that I can do all things through Christ, you know. You can study His Word a little bit. You can need to study a whole bunch, don't we? But you can, and that helps self out there, and it don't build self up to where self thinks, oh, look at me, who I am. You know, it says, look at self, as Paul says, give me boldness. Pray that I'll have boldness to speak your word and proclaim it in jails or wherever. Verse 9 says, but if you have respect to person, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as a transgressor. We read back in the first part of this, talking about two guys coming in, a rich one and a poor one. I used Bush and a beggar, you know, and those kind of things. If you have respect of person, you commit sin and are convinced of the law of transgression. Notice that it did not say you commit a mistake. We're living in a day and age, and I don't know, brethren, you think about this, and you can tell me afterwards, but I read across something where that Adam was cheated out of the deed of the earth, you know, back in the garden. He was cheated out of it. And I said, no, he wasn't cheated. Now, I may be wrong, and y'all can correct me on that again, but I didn't agree that he was cheated. I agreed that he sinned, and it was deliberate, and that's why we're totally depraved and all that kind of stuff today. So it wasn't a gray area. It wasn't a mistake. It was a sin. It was a sin, and we need to wake up in this old world and tell people, I've sinned. You know, whenever I go against what God says, and if I go against Brother Wayne or somebody else I need to tell Brother Wayne, I have sinned against you. I hadn't made a mistake, Brother Wayne. If it is a mistake, you look at it, but if it's a sin, it's a sin. Our world don't know about sin. They've gone some other way. They call it somebody mentioned the other night about some of these diseases that are not diseases, folks. They're sin. They're sin. It's something that, and I realize, well, maybe I don't realize, but I've never been addicted to smoking, drinking, or any of those kind of things, and so I can't say I understand how hard it is to quit smoking, to quit drinking, or to quit doing those kind of things, but I understand how great God is, and sometimes He'll give somebody deliverance just like that. Sometimes it's a battle. Sometimes they have to get help and they have to do those kind of things. But it don't make any difference how they get it, it's still a sin. It's not a sickness. that you can take a penicillin shot for and get rid of it. It's something that you've got to trust the Lord in and do the fighting for it. It's not a gray matter. It's not a sin. I think about Joshua. And the Lord had told them whenever they come out of Egyptian bondage and all those kind of things, don't have anything to do with people. In some places he said, utterly destroy. Utterly destroy. And they failed to do that. That's sin. Whenever God said don't do it, that's sin. And old Joshua was in a situation and here comes some guys dressed up and they looked like they'd been traveling for miles and all, and really they're just next door. They're just really next door. And Joshua had the command to not do anything, not make any covenants, not make any agreements, not make any deals with anybody. But this story that they gave broke his heart. Brought tears, maybe, done it, you know, less like we get from time to time. And it's hard to look somebody in the eye that looks destitute and looks down and out and say, I'm sorry, I can't help you. But that's what Joshua needed to do. But he sinned. That's what we do whenever we go against what God's called us to do. Whenever he says witness to somebody or give out a tract to somebody or something and we don't do it, we've sinned. And at the same time, if somebody's come up and said, now, don't you agree? Had a guy standing at workplace one day and said, you know, the flood and all this kind of stuff, you know, that the world was flooded completely and all that. And he was making a statement and he says, and you believe that, don't you? I said, yes, sir, I believe that. He was looking for more than that out of me, but that's all he got. That's, you know, I believe that. I believe the whole world was flooded and all those kind of things. And he's one of these that had to get in and dig and do all this kind of stuff. And I don't really know to this day for sure whether he's saved or not, you know. If I had to say one way or the other, I'd say no, he wasn't right now at that time when he asked me that. But the Lord may have saved him later on. He might have been saved then and he was just trying to see what I was going to do. Some folks, Lord builds them that way or something, you know. And you just have to go on, you know. Need to think. It's not a gray matter with God. It's sin. And he's got a remedy for it. He's got a remedy for it. And it's not our remedy and our thinking a lot of times. Verse 10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offended in one point, he is guilty of all. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and offend it in one point, he is guilty of all. Oh, but Lord, I just lied on my neighbor. I didn't commit adultery. I didn't commit murder. I didn't commit, I didn't steal anything. I just lied. That I ought to be able to get the rest of them okay. No, you broke them off. You know, it's not just a little bit. And that's what we need to keep in mind and keep thinking. And you'll say, well, now, Brother David, you're not preaching Baptist here and those kinds of things. I'm trying to preach Bible is what I'm trying to preach. And Baptists need to learn Bible and be standing on it and living it out there in the world. And as Brother Rick said, that's what's wrong with our country today. It's not all President Bush's fault or what's going on. And it's not all President Clinton's fault either. You know, it comes back. Oh, that kind of scuffed my toes up, Brother Rick. I wish you hadn't said that earlier. Right here, me. And me, whenever me adds up, it adds to you. You know, and it goes on and it gets serious. I get tangled up sometimes, Brother Wayne, and where the Lord says over in 2 Chronicles, if God's people, if I'll do what I'm supposed to do, the Lord's going to heal the land. And then I read over in Thessalonians and over there that it's going to get worse and worse and worse. He already knows I'm not going to do what I'm supposed to do. Does that give me freedom just sit down and quit trying and do that? No, sir, it doesn't. It gives me a responsibility to try to encourage you and you to try to encourage me. Get out and do what we're supposed to do. Try not to break them laws. Try to live where the Lord planted us. Try to be what He'd have us to be and just keep on trying it. Sometimes you need somebody to come alongside and give you some encouragement. And then sometimes you need to be able to say, it don't make any difference whether anybody comes alongside or not. Several years ago, Retta was battling a weight problem that she anybody else battle those from time to time. But you got to a point, you get to that stage where it just that scale just stays the same. Every time you step on it in the morning, it just stays the same. And we ought to jump for joy if it's staying the same, hadn't it? If it's not going this way, it ought to be an exciting trip for us that it's not going up. If that's what we're trying to do, some folks need to make it go up. Some folks need to make it go up. I think about those that have the eating problem, and I hadn't decided whether that's a disease or a sin yet, folks. You don't know inside that person and all those kind of things. But it makes you wonder. But Rhetta come to that point, and she was saying something about it, and I just said just a few words, and that sparked her encouragement to just keep on trying. If you faint not. If you faint not. Folks, if we faint not, we may be down. The old devil may have thrown some of them darts and we didn't have the armor up to quench them and those kind of things, and we may be down. But if we don't quit, we don't quit. If we don't faint and just give up and say, that's it. Lord will pick you up and here you go again. Oh, what a blessing it is. And we need to fight. We need to realize if we break the law in one point, as verse 10 said, we broke the whole law, and that's why Jesus had to come. You know, that's why Jesus had to come. I appreciate Brother Cecil's message this morning on the balance, you know. You can get overbalanced every which way. He mentioned hyper-Calvinist and all, you know, and it's hard. I don't understand it all. I don't understand it. Brother Rick read about the Egyptians coming up there, you know, and the Lord drowned all them folks. We'd said, hey, wait a minute, Lord, let's witness to them. Let's get them saved, you know. He says, y'all get on the cross. They come in behind. He drowns all them Egyptians. That sounds like a cruel God, doesn't it? He's God. He made this universe. He gave me and you breath tonight. He gave us all that stuff, and He expects us to use what He's given us and do it. There's a balance there. Sorry about that, Mike. But, you see, there's a balance that we got to have, and what we can't digest in our human mind, know that God knows what He's doing. It don't make any difference, you know, whether I understand it or not. Kind of like again what Brother Rick said. The Lord said it, that's it. They don't, if I, guess what? It's going to happen just the way the Lord said it, whether I believe it or not, whether I do it or not, it's going to happen the way He said it. He's coming back one of these days and take His people out of here. Whether I accept it, whether I believe it, whether I don't, that's the way it's going to happen. I don't understand all of it and all those kind of things. But I believe it. I know it's going to be that way because He said it would. Verse 11 says, for he that saith, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. If you do any of it, you become a transgressor of the law. You know, whatever part of it you break, I use stealing or lying in it, and you know, whatever it is that you do, you broke God's law. That's why Jesus had to come. He's the only one that did not break the law. Verse 12 says, so speak ye, and so do I, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Go over into verse 25 of the previous chapter, you see that thing. And that's one of those areas that sparked my attention a little bit more and causing me to go and look at this law of liberty and look in it. It talks about the perfect law, I believe it said over in 25, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, keeps striving, keeps keeping on. I wish we wouldn't do like Moses did back whenever the Lord called him to go deliver the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage, but we do it. I'm praying for Faith Missionary Baptist Church to have a Sunday school teacher step up to teach an assistant. Now, we've got a Sunday school teacher to teach the young people there, but we haven't got somebody as an assistant, so I'm stepping in as the assistant, and I'm praying that the Lord will raise somebody up to do it. And there's somebody there that the Lord's dealing with to do it, I have no doubt. But they may need the Lord to send Aaron along to boost them a little bit. You know, they may need somebody sent along to encourage them in some way, and I just pray that the Lord will give us that person to do that. They may need a her and a Caleb, I guess it was, help Moses' hand up. You know, we need some help sometimes. And if you see somebody struggling, you might be that help that the Lord has touched to say, keep on. I know it's hard. I know you don't think you can do it. I know you can't think this or that and all those things. But if you step up there, verse 25 says you're going to be blessed, doesn't it? Perfect law, liberty, and all those kind of things. In verse 12 it says, speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. You know, whenever you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, everything that you've done for His honor and glory is going to be a reward for it. Going to be a prize for it. He's going to be a judge in there. Jesus is going to be standing. And He knows tonight whether I'm up here trying to preach His word for His honor and His glory or trying to preach it for David Stewart's honor and glory. He knows that. And whenever judgment day comes and I stand before Him, this message will go through and it'll either go up in a ball of smoke or it'll come out on the other side with some kind of a blessing from it, a reward or something for it. I hope that I get fired up more and more in every day, and I hope you get fired up more and more in living this life to please God and to honor and glorify Him because you want something to give Jesus whenever you get through with this life. You don't get through with it. He gets through with you and that kind of thing, but I hope you understand what I mean there. Standing at that judgment seat, speak ye and do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Verse 13, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. Mercy. Y'all mentioned that the other night, didn't you? Young people been studying in school and stuff, hadn't they, Brother Wayne? I can't quote what you said, but you know, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. Old Joshua would have been doing the right thing to have told those folks, I know you've traveled a long ways and all that, but we can't make any covenants with you. I wonder if they could have gave them a drink of water or whatever, that kind of thing, you know. We have folks come by faith from time to time and they want help to get on down the road, you know. And they'd really like for you to hand them out cash. You know, that's what they'd really like for you to hand them out is cash. And they'll come up with just about every way. Well, I've got my tank full of gas, you know, and got good tires and all that kind of stuff, you know, to get the cash. And it's hard to say, just go on down the road. It's hard to say, just go on down the road. And it looks like we're merciless. You know, it looks like we're cold-hearted. It looks like we're sad, but if the Lord told Joshua not to make a covenant with those folks, it don't make any difference what it looks like, folks. We need to do what the Lord said to do. And you'll get the world up on your shoulders. You'll get the world saying you're just cold-hearted and those kind of things. But if you're pleasing the Lord, if you're doing what He's directing you to do, don't worry about it. If you wind up in the lion's den, what's going to happen, maybe? If you line up in the fiery furnace, what's going to happen? I like those fiery furnace boys. They didn't care. You know. Daniel, he didn't care either, really, but he didn't say anything about it. But the fiery furnace boys, old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, King, it don't make any difference whether God delivers me out of this fiery furnace or not. I'm not bowing down. What they told him. That's where we need to be in this old world. And sometimes it's hard to be there, folks. We don't like to be on the outside. We like to be loved by everybody. We like to be in the crowd and we like to be all those kind of things. But we need to stand for the Lord. And sometimes it's going to look like you don't have a bit of mercy, kindness, or anything in your heart whenever you stand that way. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Mercy. How many times have you had somebody that done you wrong? They knew you'd done you wrong and you've had your little discussion and they really expect you to just pounce upon them and cause them all kind of trouble and they come to you and you say, I understand. I you know, and you're forgiving and you don't bring down judgment. Whenever you could have brought the law in and you could have had them locked up and you could have took them through all kinds of things and all that kind of sort of stuff and really caused a problem, but you showed mercy. You showed mercy. You said, with your repentant heart, with your coming the way you've come, with you doing what you've done, I'm not going to go through that process with you. Mercy. Verse 14, what doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? This is going to get long. I looked up there at the clock. Maybe I won't tie us up too long here. Can faith save him? Verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye gave them not those things which are needful to the body, what doeth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath no work, hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils believe also and trembled. But will thou, O vain man, by faith without works, let me back up verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou, have faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scriptures was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Yea, see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also was Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the strangers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. If a brother or sister... Or what doeth it profit in verse 14? My brother, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Gets a little touchy, doesn't it? Gets you to thinking. Over in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, how are we saved? By faith, isn't it? And we decide when we won't be saved, don't we? No, sir. I don't know how many times I've told folks at the church pastor in Texas there at Beautiful Acres, it was called down in Texas, down there in Terrell area, Kaufman area, down in that part of the Texas area. I told them, you don't decide when you want to be saved. If the Lord's not, if He don't do the saving, if He don't bring it up to you and you trust Him, that you don't decide when you're going to be saved. I'll just sign this piece of paper that you trusted Him and everything's going to be all right. It's by faith. And yet we see here, can faith save him? Can faith save him? Listen to what it says. Pray that the Holy Spirit will tweak our hearts and get us in line. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not the things which are needful to the body, what doeth it profit? Oh, listen. We need the works, folks. We got to have the works. We don't have to have the works to be saved, but you've got to have the works. It'll show that you are saved. I mentioned the other night about the Hebrews chapter 12. If I'm not getting some kind of whipping from the Lord, that's a good indication I'm not one of His children. Don't have to get them all the time. We ought to be obedient some of the time. We ought to be obedient most of the time. That ought to be our goal, to be obedient most of the time. So we hadn't ought to be getting a whipping every day. But whenever we get the whipping, that says you are one of His, because He knows we're going to slip up. Whenever you got saved, whenever you're saved and you don't have any faith to go along with it, you better do some checking. If there's not some work going on with it, there's something wrong. If the Lord gives you all that, just like He's saying here in the Scriptures, you have somebody come and they're down and out, folks. They're down and out. They need some food. They need some bread. They need some, something to get along. I mentioned about those that go about the churches asking for help, but they really want the money part. They really don't want the help. One couple come by our church one time there, the Faith Missionary Baptist Church, and I asked them to sit through the service, and then I'd tell them. Then I'd deal with them after the service. So they did sit there, had a young child and all, and they sat through the service and all, and we did help them that time. Several months later, they came back by, a different story. Didn't help them. Didn't help them. Sent them on the way. That's cold and hard. But here, if we don't do what we need to do, if we just say, oh, y'all go on, everything's going to be all right. Whatever, we got the food in the cabinet, we got the money in our pocket, or we got whatever we is, and the Lord has brought them, and we see their heart, we see that they're not just beggars going from church to church to church. He shows us that in some way. Maybe we ask a good question to them to find out and get down to the nitty-gritty. And then we give them that, then we have provided their need, haven't we? We gave them what they needed to get on down. The Lord gives us what we need every day, folks. He doesn't leave us without any help. He gives us that faith to work with, that faith to do with, that faith to be there. In verse 15, the talks about them being destitute. Verse 16, one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. My words don't make it warm, folks. My words don't make it warm. He says that we hadn't really done them any good. Notwithstanding, you gave them not the things which are needful to the body. What doeth it profit? If we don't have faith, what's it profit? And I like what my wife tells sometimes, you know, every one of you probably did not come and kick that pew and all those kind of things. You just plopped down on it. You believed it was going to hold you up. You get out here in a little bit, you're going to stick that key in that deal, and you're not going to question, is that thing going to start? You're going to turn that key, believing that vehicle is going to start up and move. Lord gives us faith, and we oftentimes we don't realize it. I wish we could think about our spiritual walk and our spiritual talk as we think about our worldly walk, our physical walk, and our physical talk. Oh, if we could get those two in the same line, what a difference it'd be. We wouldn't think the same in our spiritual walk and say, well, I don't have faith, because you could look around and say, if I can drive down this highway meeting this other car coming at me the same speed I'm going, or maybe faster, believing and trusting that he's going to stay on his side, I'm going to stay on my side, and not any tie rod ends going to come loose, and we're going to go this way. We got some faith, folks. We got some faith we can hand a track out to somebody. I'm not a big track hander outer, so I'm kind of like Brother Rick. Who am I to be talking, you know? But maybe it's for you. Maybe it's for me. Maybe I'll leave this place and I'll just be slinging them everywhere, you know? I don't know, but we need to realize that we've got faith to do all of these other things. We stand up there at their pitcher box to swing, and we believe we're going to hit that ball that comes around. You know, we may not hit it, you know. That's the way we do in our spiritual walk sometimes. We need to be trying to be what the Lord would have us to be. Walking, doing those things. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Oh, Lord, save me. I just sit down here, won't show up at church, that ought to scare somebody. If he sends some of you by somebody that says, oh, Lord, save me, and they, you know, might take them over and say, this bothers me a little bit, because, you know, if you're saved, there's going to be some action. I realize that we get cold and indifference, and we get fed up, and we get hurt, and we get those kind of things and stuff, but somewhere along that path, and during that time, if the Lord has not got his paddle out using it on you, you might ought to check up on salvation. I think as Brother Arthur mentioned about your election, sure, make sure you know your election and calling, make sure you know if you're not getting any spanking. Because if the Lord has saved me and I'm not exercising faith, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. I'm a spiritual bulimic, is that the word that I'm looking for? You know, I'm not throwing it up. I get it in and I throw it up. I don't keep it down and those kind of things. Something's wrong if there's not some action after the Lord has saved me. If there's not something going on, there's something wrong. And the Lord's got an answer for it. And that answer might be sitting next to you. It might be looking at you through the screen door, knocking on the door and inviting you to Independence Baptist Church here. And all it might be inviting on the Faith Missionary Baptist Church. That might be the help. But it might not happen that help is recognized right then. You may have to go back. And if you don't feel that you had a good connection with that person, say, hey, Sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, so-and-so down there, I could see in their eyes a hunger for God's Word. I could see in their eyes a conviction. I could see that they needed, but we just didn't click, you know. I don't like clicks, but anyway, Jesus had one, didn't he? When he went up on the mountain, he called Peter, James, and John, didn't he? Don't get too caught up in this click stuff, all right? Realize that you might not be able to talk to somebody, but brother so-and-so might be able to talk to you. You might realize that that person's personality kind of matches up a little bit better with that person's personality than yours. Send that person over there, and that person that goes over there don't say, well, so-and-so sent me over here. You know, you just knock on that door. If a conversation comes up or if it works out that you say, well, now, we know so-and-so visited you from our church and all, and they had a pleasant visit or whatever it might have been, and you don't, faith. You're encouraging that person that they know you, the person before you seen it in their eyes, he seen it in their actions, that they needed a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of building up, a little bit of edification, a little bit of whatever, you know, to get back in track. And they may have been hurt deeply in some way through the church. Think about it. Heard this one time. Guy knocked on the door. Announced who they were. Just slammed the door shut. Two of them started back to their vehicle. Got to the vehicle and one of them said, you know, I just can't leave this place. Went back up and knocked on that door again, and they opened the door, and they was fixing to slam it, and they stuck their shoe in there. Says, I want to just apologize. Somebody has visited you that made you mad, that did it wrong somehow, some way, and I just want to apologize for those folks that done that. I don't know who it was, don't know why, but with that act, they got inside to finish talking to them. Don't know if they're saved or not. But a conviction come on that individual as they walk back to the door. I just can't leave this way. Now, can you imagine that? Most of the time, my fleshly old body, well, they chose that path. That's it. That goes on. But the Holy Spirit, if He moves and directs you, go back and knock. And you might not have to stick your shoe in the door. But just say what the Holy Spirit's giving you to say, and it might be that you get to walk on in. And you might not, but it might open up the door to the next person that gets to come in. What's that showing? Some faith at work, doesn't it? Believing God and trusting Him because He opened that door up and you got to get that message in there to them. You say, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Verse 18 is where I'm at. Skipped a lot, I think, there. Verse 17, if so, faith. If it hath not works, is dead. No. Verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. We're going to see something just a little bit here that's very good. But did you hear that? Did the Holy Spirit take it in? Are you digesting? One of you may say unto them, verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. What I'm doing. I don't have to be at the church, but I'm there to show you that I love the Lord. Lord, save me, and He's made a difference in my life. I'm there to show the world that there's a difference about me now. You know, the old flesh would rather be out there fishing or doing anything, but because of the faith, it's work to get up and be at church. I don't know about y'all, but it's work to be here tonight. You're not in your comfy clothes. You had to get dressed. It was work to get here. You're showing the world and you're showing those that are watching and those that you may have invited to be here that maybe they're here and they see you here. It's embarrassing to invite somebody and then you don't make it. If the Lord shoved the ox in the ditch and you was helping pull it out and you can show that person that, that's a different story. But if it's just because, well, I just really didn't feel like it, I just did, that's embarrassing. You know, it's embarrassing to have somebody to come and show me your faith. I'll show you mine by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believed and trembled. Old devil, he knows there's a God. He knows there's a God, so... you know, he believes there's a God. He knows, and I think he knows his time's getting shorter and shorter, and that's why we see less and less souls saved. Maybe that gets a little bit touchy, doesn't it? Because God's able to save souls. Has he just about got them all saved? Is the reason we're not seeing him saved? You know, that's his business. Our business is to preach the word and all. We like to see evidence. We like to see the aisles being walked by, rededication, by souls being saved. We like to see the baptismal water stirred and all those kinds. That's in God's hands. We're to preach the word and all those kinds. He's still able to do the saving, folks. He's still able to do it. We need to just keep on preaching and teaching and putting the word out there, and whenever he saves them, rejoice and go on, you know. Show your faith by being here. The old devil believed, but he trembled. He's not going to be saved, folks. There's a hell burning that's hot, and he's going to be there forever and ever. Right down there where the rich man's at, wanting that drop of water from Lazarus on his tongue. Can you just think about that a little bit? Just a drop of water. The way the Bible describes hell and stuff, I believe I'd wanted to... Missouri River running through there or something, you know. You know, the way it describes hell and all. Faith, you show it by your work. They believed in the devil believed he trembled. Verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Baptists need to chew on that a while. Get that balance up here. Oh, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm going to do those kind of things. It ought to break my heart whenever I do those kind of things. It hadn't ought to be come back with you with a response that, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. It ought to break my heart whenever you say, now, Brother David, that's wrong. Look here in the scriptures. It ought to break my heart. I hadn't ought to stand up. Oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm going to do those things. Lord help. How many times have we heard those kind of remarks, you know? It's hard to eat crow or to say I sinned. It's hard. But all whenever I do, 1 John 1:9 says he washes me, he cleans me up, he makes me ready to go again. It may have done something that I can't do what he might have had me to do. Now chew on that a while. Maybe something like that. But he goes on, he says, was O vain man know that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Was not Abraham? He goes over, and James goes over in the Old Testament, brings out that picture. I thought about turning over to read that, and I said, no, I'm just going to go with what James says, and you can go over there and read the story where Abraham was called to offer up his son. What did he do first off? He believed God, didn't he? He believed God. Was not Abraham justified, our father justified by works? He believed God. And after he believed God, what did he do? He took his son up there to be offered. See there in verse 22, how faith wrought with his works, and by works was made perfect. By works was made perfect. You can get in these what ifs, but Abraham didn't do the what ifs. He just got up and he went. Oh, Isaac laying on that altar, on that to be offered, and says, "Where's the sacrifice?" It just sends goosebumps up me thinking about Abraham having his son laid out there. He's following God's instruction down to the T, wasn't he? I need to follow God's instructions right down to the T, right down to the, and all. He's a good God. He believed God. And then in verse 24, or in verse 23, and the scriptures was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I think Brother Cecil read that verse this morning in his message. Do you see what it says there? And the scriptures was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. It wasn't Abraham's righteousness that got him to be a friend with God. It was something that was given him, just like if you're saved tonight, it's been given to you. It's been given to you. It's been imputed into you. Oh, what a peace it is. What a joy it is to know that no matter what happens, no matter what takes, if the Lord saves you, you don't have to worry about it. You're going to be with Him no matter what takes place. Abraham believed God. Do we believe God? Are we counting on God? Are we trusting Him? I hope so. And if we've been kind of backed off a little bit, I hope these messages tonight have been something that would, and not only tonight, but all week long, has been something that would encourage us to realize we're in this fight, and we got to do the fighting, and that our righteousness, Jesus' righteousness, imputed into us, and He's given that ability. He's given us the Holy Spirit come back to take Jesus' place, to guide and to teach us and instruct us and encourage us. And we ought to be excited about going to church. We ought to be excited about every day that He lives us. We ought to be excited about whenever I lay down, I might not wake up, but I'll be in the presence of the Lord. We might hit a semi. They might hit us. It wouldn't make... Whatever, some of this sickness that's going around, folks, it might hit me tonight. I don't know. But if it took my life tonight, praise God, I'd be with Him. Not by my righteousness or whatever, but there's action, there's work. You see it in being here every night. What would it have done to you if I'd have come in that first night and I'd have got so scared I just went back to Arkansas? Wouldn't have been much faith there. I mean, works there, would they? Sure wouldn't have been much faith either. It's work. It's work for you. It's work for me. I want people, whenever they come to church and they look at pastors and teachers and all as doing something. Well, we are doing something, but they think they're not doing anything by being there to hear the teacher and the preacher. If you're not here to hear the teacher and preacher, what's going on? You're doing a whole lot. Tell that person, they say, well, I'm just a bench warmer. No, you're not just a bench warmer. You're there hearing the good word, and you're doing what God commanded you. Read Hebrews 10:25. That's work, showing you've got faith. Oh, listen, we need to get it down, and we'll close with this. And you read the rest of it there in Rahab. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only in verse 24. You pull that out by itself and you say, well, you got to have this, this, and this. But you read the whole book from Genesis to Revelation and you see that your works is going to show you faith. Your faith is going to show you works. It's going to balance. Rahab, she had something going on in verse 25. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without works is dead. Rahab, you know the story. So the messengers there and they said, if you have that rope hanging out, you'll be spared. Had to do some work, didn't she? Just that she done. It's that what if, it's that human thing. We need to let God, need to believe God what He says. He uses Rahab here to illustrate faith and works. She believed and she done. Let's believe and let's do. Let's believe and let's do. And as the body there, the body. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Pass it around to people. I like what Brother Cecil or one of these preachers this week said. Now I forgot what he said, Brother Wayne. But it was about faith and about doing. About faith and about doing. Let's be fired up. Let's and it's not a let's build ourselves and motivate ourselves and those kind of things. But let's read God's Word and see if it don't fire us up. See if it don't make a difference in our walk. See if it don't make a difference in our action. And see if it don't make us to say, now, church, you pray that I'll have boldness out there at the workplace. You see if it don't stir you to say, folks, I need some courage. I need some boldness out there. Paul asked to pray for him to have boldness. You say, my man, Paul don't need no boldness. He asked for it. He needed it. We need it out there in the workplace. Thank you, Brother Wayne. God bless.